enjoyed that. Amen. Good stuff. Well, we have a lot of things going on tonight. The Master Club's workers are meeting tonight, and then Brother Wiggins is meeting with the discipleship crowd, and I'm looking forward to a good fall this year of discipling a bunch of our new members as well as new converts on Wednesday nights. And Master Club will be starting up next Wednesday night, just moving right along. It's good to have the Brother Miss Geringer. Got family here. I don't know why you are here. See the new baby? I'm glad you are here tonight. Secondly, we had Teenagers Saved at the youth rally that they went to this last weekend. Looking forward to Lord willing baptizing her son tonight, and as well as some others. And like I said, Brother Wiggins will be baptizing. We look forward to that. We did making the trip tomorrow with Caleb, and we are taking his truck. We did get the truck detailed, though, today. I didn't want my wife going into that disaster. And so, and he came home. He said, man, my truck looks better than it did when we bought it. That's a sad commentary. Sad commentary. But it does look better on the inside than when we bought it. So Mama won't have to crawl through the trash to go through California. I talked to Brother Latta, you know, just trying to keep things the same with our preacher boys as they head off. And we let Russell preach last year. I want to give the same opportunity to Caleb. And, of course, he's my son. And so I just appreciate him and his love for the Lord. Just a soft heart and his willingness to serve and be a servant. And I've told him this a couple of times, but I appreciate and I'm proud of the man he's become. And some of you have known him since he was, 10 months or 11 months old. I don't know. Yeah, about that time. And it's been great to see him grow up. And I'm so proud of him and look forward to driving him to California and hear of good things. I'm so proud of Russell. Again, known him since he was just that same age. And I'm proud, so proud of our guys, as well as all the other college students. And I know it. But the preacher boys is kind of our emphasis here. So. And I'm proud of Patrick. Amen. I'll tell the story again. Patrick comes up to his mom when he was really young. And of me, he said, is that God? And I'm glad they got all that straightened out. Amen. The funniest story I have is on little B. And someday I will tell that story from the pulpit. I'm looking forward to that. I have some good stories, some of these guys. But Patrick, we're praying for you. Tyler, man, awesome. All the Uds, children's headed out. It's good stuff. Being proud of Mark Smith. Caleb, come on, preach for us.
All right, I'm on. You know, they were talking about taking pictures of my mom crying. I'm looking forward to taking pictures of him crying. I'll send that to y'all. That'll be funny. It is a privilege to be here and be able to preach. And I can't tell you how much I love this church and this church family. How much of a blessing all of y'all have been to me. And like he said, most of y'all have known me. Many of you have known me for a very, very long time. And you're videoing. I'm so nervous. I was trying to put my lapel in my pocket and I almost dropped it. Because my hands are kind of shaky, so get right into it. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Here in Jeremiah, we know he's known as the weeping prophet. This is a time where Babylon was coming down and besieging Israel. And they're about to be taken into captivity. And Jeremiah is preaching, repent, repent. And get right with God. You know, turn your hearts back. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Title of the message tonight is Fire in the Bones. Kind of different. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Chapter 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. Question tonight is, do you desire so strongly to be a witness that it's like a fire inside you and you just can't hold it in? Jeremiah says here in verse 9, he says, he, if you look in verse number 8 right there, you see at the end of the verse, or verse number 7, you see at the end of the verse, I am in desertion, daily everyone mocketh me. Jeremiah was going through, if you look even further back in the chapter, the high priest had put him in stocks, had put him in prison and had beaten him, and he was just being mocked and for preaching what, you know, God had given it to him. He's preaching, repent, repent, you're going to be destroyed, and nobody likes you when you're doing that and saying, you know, you're going to die. So he was not very liked, but it says here in verse number 9 that he was ready to give up. He says, I will not mention of him nor speak any more in his name. He says, I'm done. This is too much. I'm tired of getting beat. I'm tired of getting hurt. I want to be done. But it says, his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. God has spoken to him and had his word in his heart, and he just couldn't hold it in. He says, it's like a fire in my bones. So the question tonight is Christ in you? Is God in you so much? Are you so much wanting to be a witness that's like a fire and you just can't hold it in? First of all, we need to know is, do you have the fire? In order to have the fire, first off, you must be saved. Amen. I know I'm talking to, you know, Wednesday night crowd, but only God knows your heart. And here's an example I used Wednesday night. I preached this in the youth Wednesday night. I said, you know, in order to give something, you must have something. Well, so I used the example of, you know, my dad here. I would love to give him my good looks. He really needs it. But I can't give something I don't have. So in order to give something, in order to be the witness as you should be, first of all, you have to have something. You have to have Christ yourself. Secondly, your devotional life must be a priority in your life. It's very hard to tell someone about Christ when you're not daily talking to him. It's hard to be a witness when you don't have your own life priorities in check. Church attendance and tithe. This is very quick tonight. Church attendance. You can't neglect the house of God. That's where you get your fire. You come here and your preacher is preaching, whoever is preaching, and he's fueling you. If I give you this, you got, yeah, what makes a fire? You got, you know, you need your energy source. You need your wood here, prayer. And then you need your air. Well, that's a preacher up here. He's blowing out a lot of air. And he's just flaming that fire. Amen. That's what it is. Church attendance is very important. Tithe. Hey, he started it. Tithe. Your tithe is very important. It's hard to be a witness and be right with God if you're stealing from him. 10% is the Lord's. Give it to him. So do you have the fire? Are you doing these things? Do you have it? Secondly, has your fire been extinguished? There are a couple of ways your fire can be extinguished. First of all, your fire can be extinguished by sin. There's sin in your life that's blocking you from God, neglecting things. I won't go into that. You know what it is. If it's sin in your life, you know it's keeping you from what you're supposed to be doing. You've got to get that right. Russell was preaching Wednesday night, and he talked about the man that was, you know, in a garden. There was a man that was growing weeds, and he got late, or growing roses, and he got lazy, and he kind of stopped tending to them, stopped pulling the weeds, and eventually the weeds just kept growing and growing and choked out the roses, you know. And daily we have to go in our lives and pluck out those weeds that are in our life and get back to where we're supposed to be. Amen. Next thing that could be keeping you from this, keeping extinguishing your fire, is excuses. So many excuses. Any excuse will do. But, you know, I have work. I can't. I'm too busy. I have to go help my kids with this. I'm too busy. I have to do this. I'm too busy. I just remind you, Christ was not too busy for us. Yeah. Excuses that we make. Some of them, sometimes you look back and you're, think that was really just a silly excuse. God's caught in your heart to witness somebody. God's upon your heart to do this, and you just make an excuse or say, I don't have time for that. I'll pass you by maybe some other time. There's a story, I'm almost through here. There's a story of a man, an older man. He lived in a neighborhood, small neighborhood. And every week he would hire a young boy from his neighborhood to come mow his yard. We hired the same boy every week for several months, and over time I got to witness to this boy and befriended him almost and constantly witnessed to him, and eventually that young man got saved. And then when he would come over to mow his yard, he would do a Bible study with this young man. Well, the young man kept coming and kept coming, and finally he brought another friend, and the group grew to two. That young man got saved. And then eventually, they grabbed more, and it kept growing and growing and growing. These young men caught fire, and they just wanted to do for God. They were so excited at what they had just received, that they had just received Christ, that they wanted to tell others. And they kept bringing them and bringing them. And one day, this elderly man, instead of doing his normal Bible lesson, he took the boys to a cemetery. And in the cemetery, he got the boys, and he got them all beside a tombstone. And he said, put your ear to it, and I want you to listen. The young boys were confused and looking at each other, and what's going on, you know? Why are we in a cemetery? Why is he wanting us to do this? He said, just lean down and listen, and listen. And the man said, do you hear it? The boys, again confused, looked up at each other, hear what? We're in a graveyard. There's nothing to hear here. And he said, listen, do you hear it? Do you hear them crying? Why didn't you tell me? I'm burning in torment. Why didn't you tell me? As the elderly man kept talking, the boys looked up with tears in their eyes. He said, these are the ones it was too late. But look around. There are many more. And you have an opportunity. I ask you, church, tonight, do you have a fire within you that you just can't hold it in, that you must tell people of Christ? Can you hear them? Listen. There are people out there hurting, looking for Christ, looking for the answers. They just need someone to tell them. Someone to catch fire and say, I'll show them Christ. I'm not ashamed. I won't hide it. Do you have that fire? Are you compelled to tell others about Christ so much you can't hold it in? Make excuses. You can say, one day I'll do it. When my kids are all gone, I'll get serious. When I get to college, I'll get serious about it. Looking back in my life, I can always wish I had done more. Many times I neglected what God had put on my heart. If you wait, it'll be too late for some. If you wait, there could be some that be burning in torment. Don't wait to serve God. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. Will you hide your light? Will you hide it with your sin? Will you hide it with your excuses? Will you let it shine? Will you carry the small light? Will you just let a little shine? Will you just come to church and let it shine at church? And it's real easy to do it at church. Everybody's doing it. Or will you go out into the world, let it burn like a bonfire for all to see? Be that witness. Jeremiah said, it's like a fire in my bones. I cannot stay. Will you stay? Will you just hold it in? Or will you share Christ with others? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you tonight just thankful for allowing me to preach, and it's a privilege and honor to speak your word. And I just pray that you be with the message, and I know it is short, but I don't think it needs a lot of words here to get the point across. And I ask you to just bless it, and I ask you to be with all these that are heading to college, and be with our church, that they would just get a fire for you, a desire to share you, because if we don't, no one will. our neighbors, our friends are dying, and we have to tell them because they may never hear otherwise. Just give us this boldness and help us as we go throughout our life, and bless us and keep us safe in the rest of the evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's an old song, I don't know if any of you have heard it, it's called Something Within. Something within me that I can't explain. Part of that chorus in that, or that one of the verses says, something within me, a burning desire, something within me that burns like fire, something within me that I can't explain, something within me. Have you ever been there, you know, just in a elevator or in a park or at work, and there's a burning desire within you to tell somebody or to mention to somebody about the Lord, about church or whatever, to give them the gospel, and you push it down, you know. Neighbor, coworker, cousin, aunt. We just push it down. Just put a little water on the fire. Boy, we need to be careful. When the Holy Spirit prompts us, that something within, that burning desire, that fire within us, that was given to us by the Lord. I mean, that was given to us. That's the Holy Spirit prompting you. And we ought to take action when He prompts us and not extinguish that fire. We need to not extinguish it. We need to fan it. We need to fan the flame. And we fan the flame. Like you said, when we come to church, we fan the flame. Read our Bibles, we fan the flame. And I appreciate Caleb tonight just kind of reminding us that there is fire. Well, Jeremiah, I'm about to give up. There's just a burning fire there. Let's all stand. We have verse invitation.